Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from the Expression House headquarters, Mokola, Ibadan. We bring people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us on site at Mokola, Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1 and verse 8. And I want to speak on what I've titled, The Holy Spirit, Our Dominion Activator. The Holy Spirit, Our Dominion Activator. The Lord Jesus said to the apostles, as he was getting ready to depart this world to go to the Father, in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1 and verse 8, he said, but you shall receive power. You shall receive what? I know you all did a lot of rehearsals and you shouted last night and you prayed and you fasted and your voices are blessed in Jesus' name. But make sure you respond. And you shall receive what? Power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, that's to Jesus, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I will try as much as possible to stay glued to my notes so that I can also keep to time, because I understand we are supposed to have a encounter room right after now. And then we need to have some time to rest a little bit so that we can come back for the evening session. By the way, don't miss the evening session. Tell your neighbor, don't miss the evening session. Our guest speaker, one of them, will be ministering tonight. And I trust God for that session powerfully. Now, we read last night in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, how that the Lord Jesus secured dominion for us by his blood. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, and they sung a new song, singing, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, wounded, injured, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. He redeemed us by his blood. The blood of Jesus was the cost of our redemption. And you want to understand, according to the scriptures, that the life of the flesh is in the blood. So when the Bible says he redeemed us by his blood, essentially saying that he redeemed us, he rescued us from the grasp of Satan and his wicked host by his life. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. If you understand that, shout amen. Colossians chapter 1 verses 13 and 14 also reiterates that fact. Can I have that? Who has delivered us from the power of darkness? We were under the power of darkness before. But glory be to God, he didn't leave us under the power of darkness. You and I would not have been able to come to church this morning if not for what Jesus did. If not that Jesus came, we would have remained, because Adam sold us out by committing treason, a high treason against God. Satan then became the god of this world, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4, 4:3, and 4. And we would have remained under his bondage. And you know, if you know anything about the devil, he's a wicked guy. We would not have been able to have freedom to worship God. He would tell you, keep quiet, and you keep quiet. He would tell you, tonight, you're not sleeping. And for the next 7 nights, you're not sleeping. And that's it. You're not sleeping. Because he's a wicked master. He's a wicked ruler. But glory be to God, he's not our master. If any man be in Christ, a new creature, all things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. Can I have an amen to that? We are God's children. We are masters of Satan. We are servants of men. How are we servants of men? We are meant to serve people. We are meant to minister Christ. We are meant to minister the love of God to people, not to lord it over them. We are not to act as the boss, even though we are the boss. Amen? Did you understand what I said? We are not to lord it over people. Our dominion is not over people. We are not to be dominating people. Unless you're a witch. It's a witch that domineers people. To domineer people means whatever you say is the final. Nobody can argue. Nobody can say anything. I've said it. That's it. Then you're a witch. We walk in dominion, but by love. Like Jesus humbled himself and washed the feet of the disciples. That's how we are also supposed to operate. When we relate to people, love them. Love the unlovable. Love people that can't even pay you back. Come down to their level. Help them. Put a smile on someone's face. Be the reason somebody is smiling somewhere. Be the reason somebody has hope. Oh, thank God I'm alive. Oh, thank God for meeting you. Why would you do this for me? Well, the Lord Jesus said I should do it for you. Really? I want to know that, Lord Jesus. This is where our dominion is expressed. Are you getting what I'm saying? We dominate. The world is full of hate. So we dominate hate with love, not with hate. We dominate the darkness with light. There is hopelessness in the atmosphere. We dominate that with hope. Hope that is based on faith. Because now faith is the hypostasis, the substance, the foundation of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, according to Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Can I have an amen to that? We are masters of Satan. How are we his masters? We bind him in the name of Jesus. We cast him out in the name of Jesus. We stop his operation in the name of Jesus. Somebody wants to commit suicide. We preach the gospel to the person. They become born again. They change their mind. They start loving God. And they start finding reasons to live again. Yeah, that's how we are destroying the works of the devil. That's how we are depopulating his kingdom to populate the kingdom of our God. That's why we have spent so much money to have this conference. So much money. Many of you have given fantastically well. Given our time. Given our money. Given our talent, so that we can have an atmosphere where we share God's word again and show love to as many as would come. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? But all of that would not have happened without the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. The sinless blood of the Son of God. That was the cost of our redemption. It is with our redemption package that we have dominion. Dominion is part of the package. Can I have an amen to that? Ephesians 1:7 also stresses the fact that we have redemption through his blood, which is the guarantee of our dominion. Ephesians 1:7 essentially repeats what Colossians 1:13 and 14 says. Revelation 12:11 tells us they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies, and they loved not their lives even unto the death. How did they overcome the devil? How did they overcome the devil? How did they overcome the devil? According to Revelation 12:11, how did they overcome? By complaining? By grumbling? By murmuring? How did they overcome the devil? How do we overcome the devil in every situation? By the blood of the Lamb. He can't stand the blood. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies. And who is the Lamb? Are you sure Jesus is the Lamb? Are you sure? John 1:29, John said, as they saw Jesus coming to him, that they behold. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming to him and saith, behold. Behold means look and consider. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It was revealed to John. John was his forerunner. That was his life mission, to prepare the way of the Lord. So when he saw Jesus coming to him, then look and consider the Lamb of God. So if Jesus is the Lamb of God, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, That means it is safe for us to say that they overcame by the blood of Jesus. And is it safe also to say that we also today overcome by the blood of Jesus? That's why we don't joke with that blood. If you do comedy, be careful. Then to public speaking, be careful. If you are a singer, be careful. Let's not trifle with the blood. I think someone said some time ago, he was joking. He said the blood of Jesus has finished. So now it's the blood of God. Oh, blood of God. Now don't say such things. If the devil can stand anything, there are three things I know he cannot stand. The name of Jesus, the word of God, and the blood of Jesus. He cannot resist them. When he came to Jesus physically, Luke chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 4 to tempt him, Jesus resisted him by the word. Because Jesus is the living word. He even quoted the scripture to Jesus. So Satan can quote scriptures to you. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. That's the Lamb. The Lamb of God. What? That's the sacrificial Lamb. That's the Lamb that taken away the sin of the world. People didn't know. They thought it was just another regular guy. Shabbat is a carpenter. John said, behold, behold, behold the Lamb of God. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God. Behold, look at him, consider him. That's the guy that is going to be crushed. He's going to be wounded. He's going to be injured. They're going to deal with him ruthlessly and mercilessly. But guess what? He's not stupid. He's taking all of that because he wants to take away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. And guys, he was wounded. My. Jesus was wounded. He was so wounded, he didn't look like a man anymore on the cross. By the time he made it to the cross, Jesus didn't look like a human being. I said that yesterday. I'm repeating it. Give me that scripture, Isaiah 52 and verse 14. Isaiah 52 and verse 14. Isaiah, you know, Jesus had not gone to the cross yet when Isaiah was prophesying this. Isaiah saw into the future. He was a prophet. He saw into the mind of God. And into God's plan for man's redemption. And Isaiah began to prophesy. And he said, as many as were astonished at thee, his visage, countenance, was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. You don't understand that? Give it to me in NIV. Just as there were many who were appalled at him. Do you know what it means to be appalled at someone? English. To be appalled means to be irritated. You're upset. You're angry. You almost want to throw up. What were they? You know what I mean? The H-E double hockey sticks. What the is this? What the H-E double hockey sticks is? What? What? Oh, no. Gory. He was so gory. Nobody wanted to look at him. You don't want to be looking at anybody's intestines. Have you ever traveled maybe to Lagos or somewhere? And then you saw a dead body on the road. It's not a nice scene. You don't want to see it. Jesus was buffeted. He was, permit me to say, massacred. Maybe you don't understand wounded. You know, it's just you think it's just a little wound. You know, like when you play football and you just sustain a little injury. No. No, sir, no, man. From the crown of his head. They injured him. They buffeted him. They did maximum damage to him. From the crown of his head to his face, to his beard being yanked off, to his body being battered, to his hands being nailed and his legs being nailed, and finally to the spear that came. Blood, 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 blood flowing from every part of his body. The cross was stained with blood. Drenched with blood. Blood kept oozing out of him. Oh my goodness. He poured out his soul. This is not talking about blood trickling out. This is blood pouring out. Blood pouring, pouring all the way to the cross and then on the cross. And somebody still was not satisfied. A soldier was not satisfied. He went to pick a spear and still put it right here, pierced his side. Oh my, oh my. Blood flowed again and drenched the cross. Why would he do this? Because of your redemption, because of my redemption, because we needed to be rescued from the grasp of Satan and be brought into fellowship back with God. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so we can turn around and say, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Can I have an amen? If you try to say, Satan, my family name is against you, you're going to be in trouble because your family name is not worth a piece of paper before Satan. No matter how rich your family is. The one thing he respects is the blood. The sinless blood of the Son of God. They buffeted him. So much so that those who saw him were appalled at him. You couldn't see him and eat bread, let alone eat meat. You couldn't see Jesus on the cross and eat. If there was food in your mouth and you saw Jesus on the cross, you would drop the food. You would break down and cry. Did they treat a human being like this? A human being? Did they beat? They beat him to pulp. So much so that people were appalled at him. His appearance, Isaiah said, was so disfigured, was out of place. His bones were... He was disfigured. Beyond, more than that of any human being. This is the sacrifice he paid for your salvation. This is why you should never play with sin and toy with sin and joke with the salvation of your soul. It cost God his life. It is not a small thing to be born again. To be born again is not to change your name from Ishmael to Samson. It's beyond that. From Dauda to David. I was Dauda before, now I'm David. That doesn't mean jack. To be born again is to really accept the sacrifice of the one who was disfigured on the cross and say, Lord, I believe. Thank you. Thank you. Come into my heart. And every day I want to talk to you, Jesus. I want to talk to you. Talk to me. I want to read your word. Teach me your word. Lead me by your spirit. Tell me what to do. Tell me where to go. Tell me what not to do, where not to go. And I will follow. That's what it means to be born again and to be saved. If Jesus tells you to steal money, go ahead and steal. But will he ever tell you to steal money? Because he will never go against his word. He said, let him that stole steal no more. Let him walk with his hands so that he might have to be able to give to them who are in need. The reason you have is so that you can give. Are you getting what I'm saying? He was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred. M-A-R-R-E-D. Marred. Destroyed. Marred. Disfigured. Beyond human likeness. So, those who were not there when he was being crucified, when they were coming in the evening and they saw the body on the tree, they couldn't say he was a human being. They couldn't tell. Those who were not there when he was being crucified, they couldn't tell that this was a human being. He had changed from looking like a human being. So all those Roman cross, religious calendars, find Jesus on the cross, very fresh, almost with a smile. Almost, I said. With little blood trickling off his hands, that's a scam. The real Jesus on the cross, you can't even put him in a calendar. There is no household that will put him there. Everybody will cry. If we see by the Holy Ghost the picture of Jesus on the cross, you will be born again in your room. When I preached this message I think it was last year, I preached along that line, and I really talked about the cross. One of our brothers, he went back home, and he went to watch the film again, Passion of the Christ. He broke down in tears. Now, that day, I made an altar call. He came out. He's an established brother in the church. But he came out and rededicated his life after the message. Then he went home to watch the movie. And then he broke down again and cried. He said he couldn't finish the movie. So he caught a little clip and sent to me. The pastor, look at the way, if it dawns on you, if it dawns on me, I'm trying to not walk away from my, because of time. I really just want to keep the time so that we can all go. But this is very important. This is why we're here. In fact, this session is the core of Ablaze. This is the foundation on which every other thing is going to be built. Every other thing will make sense because of this. Are you getting what I'm saying? Nothing can be greater than the blood of Jesus. If that's all I tell you, it's good enough. If by the Holy Ghost we will see the sacrifice of Jesus, by the help of the Holy Ghost, we will not misbehave one more day. We will see sin and say, no, I rebuke you. I have dominion over you. I am not going to sin. No matter what the devil brings, no matter what life brings, you would want to live for him who died for you. He died for you so that you might live for him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Guys, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Let's take an exercise. Isaiah 53. I'm going to take it from that Isaiah 52 and verse 14. I'm going to read all the way to Isaiah 54 to the end of Isaiah 54. So get your Bible out, everybody. Yeah, media can also project. Isaiah 52, I'm reading from the KJV, and I'm going to take from verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. Now, Isaiah was saying all of this. He was prophesying because the Holy Ghost opened his eyes to see the servant of God that was coming. Capital letter S, servant. Actually, the Son of God. And so he said, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high, as many were astonished at thee. His visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who had believed our report? Isaiah 53 and verse 1. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. We didn't want to see him. He didn't look good on the cross. We hid our faces from Jesus. He was despised, and he was esteemed not, and we esteemed him not. We didn't even honor him. The Jews called him a Samaritan. They called him Beelzebub. They said he had the devil. They didn't esteem him. They didn't honor him. Surely. Somebody say surely. I can't hear you surely. Say surely. He had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Glory be to God. No more sorrow in our lives. Lord, hear the voice of one person that said amen. I said, no more sorrows in our lives. Because surely he's not about to carry our sorrows. Surely he hath carried. Surely he hath borne our griefs. No more grief. I said, no more grief. Say amen very well. This is what he has done. Surely, not probably. He's not trying to carry our grief. Part of grief is mental disorder, mental illness, depression. They all come from the spirit of grief. Paul said to not grieve too much like them that have no hope. especially when loved ones pass on to eternity. He wrote that to the church to encourage and to comfort the church. That came to me when I lost my mom. When you get into that grief thing too much, the devil will kill you. He almost killed me after killing my mom. Yeah. So I minister to people that are grieving many times when I have the opportunity. Sit down with them one-on-one and minister to them. Surely, he hath borne our griefs. He is not about to bear it. He has borne it. He has carried it. What else did he carry? Our sorrows. For the rest of your life from today, no more sorrows in your life. I said, no more sorrows in your life. People will not have occasion to see you being sorrowful. In the mighty name of Jesus. He has carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. They say, yeah, God caught him. God caught him. That was how they were looking at him. They didn't know he was doing this for us. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Not for his own transgressions. He had no transgressions. He was sinless. He is sinless. He is forever sinless. He did this for us. Have you fought for somebody before and the person you fought for was fighting you? They didn't understand. And you're trying to tell them, it's you I'm fighting for. Say, no, you're fighting for yourself. And you try to explain and they won't listen to you. It can be very frustrating. But you know what we do in such a situation? We give up the fight, right? All right? I step out. Go and face it. When you face it, when you learn, you come back. But thank God Jesus didn't do that. Imagine when they yanked off his beard, he slapped. Imagine he slapped somebody back. Pwah! Are you mad? You the crazy? I came to die for you. You are slapping me. Father, I'm not interested again. We would have been doomed forever under the domain of Satan. He was the last Adam. He wasn't just the second Adam. He was the last. There is no hope outside of Jesus Christ. Thank God he didn't give up. Even when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, and it was heavy on him. Ah, Father, I wish that this cup would pass over me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Who said he was not tempted? He was tempted in every way, like as we are, yet without sin. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but who was at all points tempted. He was tempted in every way, like as we are, yet without blemish, without sin. He didn't sin. Imagine if he had sinned. Didn't he go to the house of Mary and Martha? Imagine Mary sat down to hear his words. Martha was busy in the kitchen. Imagine he sent Martha out to the market, a very far market that would take 2 hours. And within 2 hours, he did something with Mary. Imagine if he did that. There were women in his ministry who supported him, but not one scandal. He came as a man. The Son of Man. Tempted. That's why he can succor us who are tempted now. Because he knows what it means to be tempted. He sat where we sit now. He walked where we walk now. That's why he can say, my son, my daughter, don't give up. Keep going. Keep going. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm supporting you. I'm strengthening you from the inside. Are you with me, church? Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, he was tempted by the devil. The devil showed him the glory of the world. Imagine if he had bowed one moment to just worship the devil. Because the devil said, I'm going to give it all to you if you worship me. Because it has been delivered to me. Yes, it was true. Adam delivered everything to Satan. And Satan was in charge and is still in charge of the world today. That's why he's in charge of the financial realm of the world. They determine what happens. That Kenneth Hagin was praying to God, Lord, I need finances in my ministry. He was teaching faith and people were getting healed and people were getting their miracles, but money was not coming in. I need a lot of money right now to put air conditioners in this house and to give this place a good makeover, make it look beautiful like the house of God, and get more equipment and things to run the church, and get one or two buses to help the students, bring them to church, take them back, and then maybe after, you know, one service in a month, we're able to give food packs to people, you know, to have lunch. I mean, that's a good thing, isn't it? But the devil will not allow that to happen. Because if money comes to the church like it should come, he knows we will use the money to win souls. Winning souls means we are getting them from him and putting them in God's kingdom. So he will resist us and is resisting us. But guess what? That's not the end of the story. That's why we are doing what we are doing this morning. We need to rise, understand our dominion, rise in our dominion and activate it and walk in it and get what belongs to us from him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't allow the devil keep you broke. Don't allow him keep you sick. Don't allow him keep you in sin. Those three areas. I'll show you quickly from God's word. Let's continue reading. Glory be to God. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. How many of us? Come on. The iniquity of the church. The iniquity of only a few people very close to God. Come on, talk to me, church. The iniquity of how many people? That's why not one person should go to hell. They don't know that their iniquity has been laid on Jesus. All they need to do, your family members that are not saved, they don't know that their iniquity has been laid on Jesus. You need to tell them that their iniquity has been laid on Jesus. And you need to tell them to accept what Jesus has done for them and receive him and appreciate him and appreciate and value their salvation and walk in the reality of that. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because the iniquity of us all, God has laid on Jesus. Amen. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He could have opened his mouth and cursed them, but no, he didn't do that. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Listen, he didn't go to prison because he committed a scam. You see that guy, that my scammer? You know he's supposed to be a preacher. He wrote a mail from the prison one time to all my clients and all the other clients that he swindled. And he said to them that it's no big deal that he's in prison. He said, because even Jesus went to prison. I said, the Lord rebuke you. Was it ever reported that money was given to Jesus to do a task and he didn't do it? Do you realize that Jesus did carpentry? Did any customer give him a job and Jesus didn't deliver and they had to use a policeman to arrest Jesus? All the scammers in Nigeria, your time is up in the name of Jesus. Imagine his audacity. He wrote a mail out. He said Jesus went to prison. Why did Jesus go through all he went through? The Bible says, come on now, let's read that verse again. Verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. He went to the spirits in prison. Those who died without God, he went to preach to them. And when he came out, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Can I have an amen? He didn't go to prison as a criminal. May God give us understanding. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Not for his own transgression, for the transgression of the people. Us. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, Neither was any deceit in his mouth. He didn't scam anybody. He didn't lie to anybody. This guy lied to me and to all my clients and to many other people, over 300 people, for one solid year. He kept lying, lying, lying. We got him. He lied to the police. He lied in court. He went to prison. He was still lying to the prisoners. We took him out of prison temporarily so that he can pay our money. He's still lying till today, 2 years on after his arrest. It looks to me like some people have made up their minds to wind up their lives in hell. Their conscience has been seared with the hot iron. They tell lies in hypocrisy. 1 Timothy 4:2. Be careful to not get to a point in your life when sin becomes your new normal. When you sin and you justify it. When you sin and nothing pricks you, your conscience does not prick you again. It's the most dangerous state a believer can find himself or herself. Are you with me, church? Neither was any deceit in his mouth. Verse 10. Verse 10 is very wonderful. Yet, somebody say yet, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. What? I have to calm down now. Yet, it pleased Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the Father, to pamper him. Is that what you have in your Bible? To bruise him. His own son. I tell my children, what do you, if you see them, ask them, either of the two of them, ask them. I give you this free of charge. Call them to a corner and say, Tireni Oluwa, come. What is it that your dad hates the most? My children will tell you for free, my dad hates beating us. I beat them, but I hate it. I look at them and say, look, let me talk to you and you listen to me and go and do what I've said. I don't let me get to the point of beating you. I don't use the word dislike. I hate it. After beating them, I call them and say, what is it that I hate the most? You hate beating us. because I don't like... No, I don't like him. Throughout the lifetime of my dad, maybe he beat me twice or three times. Most times he will charge. When he charges at me, I will understand. Yes, sir. And he doesn't charge every time. So once in a while when he charges, you know, that's serious. So I grew up very quickly, understanding my father, what he liked, what he didn't like, and I would stay away from what he didn't like. I passed that on to my children. Not a violent person. I don't like violence around me. Because when you damage them very early, they grow up like that, and then they become distorted. And then they misbehave to people, and you don't know why they keep transferring aggression to their classmates every time. You see, a hurting person will hurt others. When you're hurting from home, someone you're not even supposed to hurt, you will hurt them without blinking an eye. And they say, why did you say that? I say, are you crazy? Do your worst. Get out. Go. And they're looking at you like, are you normal? What did we carry? What did we throw? You just stepped on me. You were supposed to say sorry. Why should I say sorry? Why did you put your leg there? Well, when your legs are too long. Because they're hurting. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Put that on the screen, please, media. I know you're having some challenges, but that's fine. You'll be all right. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Think about that, church. It pleased the Father. Why would it please the Father to bruise his own son? Remember, one of the earlier verses said, he laid on him the iniquity of us all. So Jesus on the cross carried the iniquity of us all. Past, present, future, everything on him. There was not one sin that Jesus didn't pay for. Oh, the guy is gay. Oh, no. Jesus didn't pay for the sins of gay. No, he did. Whatever the world is going to discover tomorrow, a new sin that the world will discover, because, you know, they keep discovering every time. 10 years ago, people were not smoking vape. It's a kip, they call it a vape. Shisha. Well, 10 years ago, I saw Shisha in America, Shisha machine in America. 10 years ago, 2015. In my cousin's house. Somebody challenged him and said, you know, it's a bad habit I just picked up recently. I didn't know what it was. Didn't mean any sense to me. 20 years ago, there were no shisha machines. Today is on every street. Everywhere there's a lounge, there's a nightclub. In fact, there's a supermarket somewhere on Onirike Road. They wrote it there, shisha. So you can just drive, stop by, and get in for a shisha. Just shisha your life away. 5 minutes, get out. Puff some smoke out of your... And I see some ladies who do that a lot, and they put it on social media. Oh, my. Well, can I tell you something? Jesus loves all those people. Amen? And that's why we must love them. Don't judge them. Otherwise, you won't be able to win them to the kingdom. Jesus had seen all of that. That men will wake up and say, I am no longer a man. I'm not John. I'm Jane. Don't call me John. I'm Jane. You're a man, no? What if I was not a man? There was one in America. The guy has a deep masculine voice. And he says he's a woman. I think he's the Kim Kardashian father, something like that, in that family. Yeah? Does anybody know who I'm talking about? He has a name. Do you know his name? He gave himself a name, a funny female name. From Chris, Bruce, to Katie. I'm Katie. I don't like it when you sound like a man. If you're a woman, be a woman, right? If you're a real Katie, you be, I'm Katie. Right? I know not everybody speaks with that kind of voice, but you still know this is the woman talking to me on the phone. Am I right about that? There are some exceptional cases where some ladies sound like men. And they get the vibes every time. When these people look at me, are you serious? I say, oh no, God made me that way. But hey, that's not common. And there are some men also that, hey, hello. And the man is so big, you're expecting to hear a baritone. Whatever sin the world is discovering now, the Lord foresaw that from eternity past into eternity future, and He put the iniquity of us all. Oh man, I smoke weed, I do drugs, all of that. Put Him on Jesus. And in one stroke, declared His judgment. He judged the iniquity of us all on Jesus once and for all. That's what the Bible says. It pleased Him to bruise Him. Payment made. Have you been trying to make a payment on the internet before? You wanted to pay your school fees and you went through Remita and you put all the card details, and then you click submit. And then the thing is buffering and buffering and buffering. And at that point, if you're like me, you are praying. Because this is Nigeria. It could return an error message. And when it returns the error message, you get pom 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 debit alert. 120,000 has gone to your school, but the school said they can't find the money. And then it is not returned. It is not reversed. And so for 1 week, you are going to the bank, and then you are going to school. And you are going to the bank, and you are going to school. And you are going to the internet. Anybody knows what I'm talking about? Thank God that did not happen with Jesus. As He bled and bled and bled and bled, it pleased the Father to bruise Him all at once for all eternity. At the end of it all, payment made. Give a green check. And now we are free. Amen. Now you can say, I'm a child of the Most High God. You need to understand where you are coming from. That's when you can operate dominion. Payment made. The Father got the alert and the receipt was issued. The person of the Holy Ghost came. Praise the Lord to bruise Him. Have I spoken for so long? I'm just starting out, guys. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. What does it mean here, his soul? It was referring to his blood. That's the offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. We are the travail of his soul. He will see us. May Jesus see us and be satisfied. Come on, say better amen. That I didn't die in vain. Oh, I died for this guy. Now he's living for me. Oh, thank you, Father. That's to see of the travail of your soul and be satisfied. It's like you students, when you read hard, you read all night, TDB, 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 till daybreak. You go to class, you are dozing off, but you slap yourself to stay awake. You chew a little sweet or little biscuit just to stay awake and listen to the professor. And then you go back and read and read and read and read and read and read. And you do classes with your fellow students. You have tutorials and then you face exams and then you face it and then you write and then you write and then you write. And then boom, 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 after 2-3 weeks, your results are released. And then you make an A. Hey, when you see your results, you say, hey, oh, glory be to God. Now I can go and get myself some pizza. I deserve pizza and some milkshake. You have seen of the travail of your soul, and now you are satisfied. If the result doesn't come out nice, you won't be satisfied. Are you getting what I'm saying? But Jesus shall see us, the travail of his soul, and may he look at us and be satisfied. If you understand that prayer, your amen will be better. Therefore, will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Sing, O barren, thou that did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that did not travel with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, expression house, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Can I get an amen? Neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. For thy maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord has called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of you when thou was refused, saith the Lord. When they refused me visa, I stood on this scripture. I saw the word refused in the Bible. The UK government refused me visa about 3 times. But I refused to quit. I put pressure on the word of God. They gave me US visa. I traveled to the US. I came back. I went to the UK again to apply for visa. They still refused me. I said, what is the demon troubling you guys? I went back to this scripture. To change refusal to approval. And I went back again and I got it approved. Landed in London. Said, oh, this is London. Finally, we're here. Because I saw the word refused. The word of God is so powerful, it is universally applicable. Apply the word to your situation and see a turnaround. That's dominion. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. What is the meaning of for a small moment have I forsaken thee? In a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy. A seed on this, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. What was that small moment? That small moment that God hid his face was the 3 days and 3 nights Jesus spent in hell. What was that small moment? That small moment was as he carried the sins of the world on himself on the tree. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. God's eyes are so pure and holy, he cannot behold sin for a small moment. When he looked away from Jesus on the cross with the sins of the world, guess who God looked at? He looked at you with kindness. Looked away from his son, he looked at you. That's why he said, with everlasting kindness will I have mercy. on you. Can I have an amen to that? You can read the rest of the chapter on your own when you get to my. I thought I'll finish it, but I need to make some 3 points. And then I close this. Very quickly. So, in Christ, we have dominion. Say amen to that. Number one, dominion over Satan or Satan and his cohorts. Luke 10:19 on the screen. Quick, real quick now. I want to maximize the little time I have left. We have dominion over Satan and his cohorts. Luke 10:19. What did Jesus say? Everybody read it together. But I give unto you power. That's dominion. That's authority. To tread on serpents and scorpions and to overcome all the power. How much of the power? All the power of the enemy. He didn't stop there. And he also added, and a few things may hurt you. What did he say? Nothing shall by any means hurt you. We have dominion over Satan and over his demons. Can I have an amen to that? Number two, we have dominion over sicknesses and diseases. Over sicknesses and diseases. Mark 16:17-18. Mark 16, verses 17 and 18. We have dominion over sicknesses and diseases. Mark 16:17-18. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. That's dominion over sickness and disease. We lay hands on the sick. We lay hands and they recover. So treat your hands like God's hands. Don't put your hand into iniquity. Those hands are meant to be laid. When you lay them on the sick, shall recover. Amen. Number three, we have dominion over every form of lack. I love that. Luke 22:35. When I sent you out without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they answered, shout it. If they lack nothing, you will also lack dominion over lack. When I sent you without scrip, without purse, without shoes, lacked ye anything? And they answered, nothing. Like he sent them, he has also sent us. If they lacked nothing, we will lack nothing. Can I have an amen to that? In Matthew 17 and verse 27, when they were meant to pay tribute, Peter came to him and said, they are demanding. He said, Peter, come. The kings of this world, when they receive tribute, do they receive from the children or from strangers? Peter said, from strangers. Jesus said, then the children are free. He said, but so that we don't run into trouble with them. Now, verse 27. Go now quickly to the sea. Throw your hook there. The first fish you catch, open his mouth. There is money there. Take it out. Use it to pay for your own tribute and pay for mine. Dominion over lack. There was a need to pay tax. Go to the sea, the first fish. As he said it, normally you don't catch a fish and find money in the mouth of a fish. A fish swallowed money from somewhere. And he started looking for Peter's hook. Peter's hook was the best thing in the world. He must hook his mouth there. I needed to be caught. Where is Peter's hook? James, the son of Zebedee, no. Andrew, the brother of Peter, no. Where is Peter's hook? He ran to Peter's hook. Oh yeah, catch me. And Peter brought him out. Opened his mouth. When did the money get to his mouth? The moment the Lord Jesus said it. Dominion over lack. Go to the sea now. Go now. Go. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. Go thou to the sea. No, Lord. How can you say you should go to the sea? Should be we have a boat. Where is Judas Iscariot? You should bring the boss out now. Go now to the sea. Go thou to the sea. Divine instructions. Don't argue with the Lord this season of your life. Some of you might need the way, you might need to change the way you do your business. And we, this is how we normally pay the tax. No, this time, go to the sea. The first fish, not the second one, the first one. Imagine he caught the first one and said, this is too small. I can this be a good fish? I was thinking it would be a big fish. There'll be money in his mouth. This is too small. This one, if he swallows money, we die. Imagine removing it from the hook and throwing it back into the sea. Go and live your life. There goes his miracle. That's why you don't despise any opportunity God brings your way. Don't despise the people God brings into your life. The people that will help you many times may not look like they can help you. Are you getting what I'm saying? The first fish. Dominion over lack. Somebody said dominion over lack. And Peter did. The fish did. The fish delivered. Peter took it, paid the tribute. And no argument. King Jesus demonstrated dominion over lack severally, just as he demonstrated dominion over Satan and his demons, over sickness and disease. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You remember the story of Simon, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 10, when Jesus used his boat to preach, and it was done, he said, now let down your net for a catch. And Peter said, we have toiled all night, sir, and we caught nothing. I'm a professional fisherman. I have a PhD in fishery. The night time is the best time to catch them because they can't see the net. They swim mistakenly into the net. Now, this is daytime. You have even preached for only God knows how many hours. Jesus is my mentor. Preach for long. Now, sun has come up. They can see the net clearly. But nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. He had nets. He let down one. You need to increase your capacity to believe God. And it starts from your thought life, your thinking. Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Please, look at that scripture. That Luke chapter 5. Thank you, Lord. I wanted to see something there. Jesus said in verse 4 of Luke chapter 5. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Plural. Your nets means all your nets. Verse 5. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and I've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the singular or plural? Singular or plural? When the Lord told him to let down, singular or plural? Plural. But what did he let down? Singular. Now, so person they catch fish during the day. During the day. Okay, never add your word, sir. Fear. Only one net. Can you imagine if he let down all his nets? With only one net. All the fishes in the river were competing to enter the net. So much so, he beckoned on his partners. They brought their ship closer. They helped him to pull out the weight of the fishes. They filled the first boat. They filled the second boat. The two boats were sinking. Net breaking, boat sinking prosperity. Father, we receive in the name of Jesus. Imagine if he had let down all the nets he had. They would have gone to town to go and call more fishermen, more men. Actually, whether you're a fisherman or you're a hunter, come, just come and help us. You don't need any experience in catching fish. The only thing we need is your muscle to pull from the river. And those fishes would have waited there in the net. They were destined for the net by the dominion world. My God, someone is leaving this conference and you are going to rule your world. You are going to move your world from zero. You are going to move your world to the zenith in the name of Jesus. So what do I mean? Faith is an important activator of your dominion. Let me conclude. Do you know that in spite of all the miracles that Peter saw, he still denied Christ 3 times? Matthew 26, verses 66 to 75. The third time he was denying Christ, actually, the Bible says he began to curse. He began to curse. Verse 75. Matthew 26 and verse 75. Verse 75. And Peter remembered, the previous verse, 74. Verse 74. Verse 74. And then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. Peter. Peter. Ah! I wrote in my notes, oh, Peter. When we get to heaven, I will share this with Peter. It was you who had the luxury of walking on water with the master. Matthew 14, 28 to 32. No other disciple walked on water. Only Peter. Just like the master. I said, Peter, it was you whom the master sent to go catch a fish in the sea. The first fish who carried money in his mouth. Take it, go and pay for our tribute, for you and for me. Matthew 17, 27. Peter. He kept sending Peter on powerful errands, miraculous errands. So Peter was a partaker, a first-hand partaker of the miracles of Jesus. Peter, you were there with the master in Jairus' bedroom when he raised Jairus' 12-year-old daughter from the dead. Mark 5:37. Oh, Peter. But this was before the Holy Ghost came. Hallelujah. I'm rounding off now. Because the Holy Spirit is the dominion activator. But when the Holy Ghost came, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, our text that we read, Jesus said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And then you are going to be witnesses unto me. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 happened to Peter and the rest of the apostles. Their dominion over Satan, demons, sickness and disease, poverty and lack was activated. The church was born. This is a new species of beings. These ones are supernaturally empowered by the same spirit that empowered Jesus of Nazareth. Acts 10:38. When you get home, read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 47, and Acts chapter 3. Acts 2, 1 to 47, and Acts 3, 1 to 16. The Holy Spirit is the activator. The Holy Spirit, when it came in Acts chapter 2, 1 to 4, Peter got up and preached. The same Peter that was denying Christ 3 times was the first to preach. When there was chaos, nobody knew what to say, nobody knew what to do. The Holy Ghost came and they were all speaking in tongues. They were speaking languages they never learned. This was a mambru, and different tongues. There were pandemonium. Peter stood up and preached, and 3,000 souls were saved without a microphone, without a line array. No line array speakers. I still don't know how he did it, but I think I have an idea. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost amplified his voice, because even in this room, if I drop this mic to preach to the few of you here, I will lose my voice. They were pricked to their hearts and they asked, men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? And Peter told them to repent. The whole of chapter 2. And when they repented, 3,000 people that came, tourists that came to Jerusalem for a feast, Like you go to America, you know, to just enjoy yourself on vacation. You thought you went to vacation, but then you went to give your life to Christ. They were caught in the web. Glory be to God, but a good one. And then towards the end of that chapter 2, love, the baptism of love came heavily on the newborn church, such that people sold land, they sold property, and they brought the money to the apostles' feet, and they distributed as every man had need, and there was joy, and they went from house to house. As they shared the word of God, they also broke bread. Like we did some, was it last Thursday or two Thursdays ago? The last encounter night, we broke bread. And I believe God on Sunday, we're going to break bread again. And when we talk about breaking bread, we don't mean we buy Westmead bread and break it. We mean jollof rice and chicken. Can I have an amen to that? It's part of the church. We saw that in the early church. Oh, no, people shouldn't eat in church. Oh, God, pray for prosperity. You don't know who comes to church and doesn't have a meal. Who didn't eat yesterday? Came to church. Church is their last hope. Having fed them with God's word, feed them with food also is good. Jesus did the same. That was why the apostles also did it. They saw Jesus live and direct. It was this same Peter and the rest that said, okay, we're in the desert place. Let them be going home. Let them go and look for what to eat. Jesus said, they've been with me for 3 days in a blessed conference. They've been with me for 3 days. You said they should go. Don't let them go, lest they faint in the way. They said, but God, this is a desert place. There's no bakery here. Where shall we buy food? Jesus said, what do you have? We only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but what is that? That everybody will even take a little bite. Thousands of people. Jesus said, bring it. He prayed, multiplied, boom. And in the name of Jesus, food will go around on Sunday. Can I get a better amen? That happened in Acts chapter 2. By Acts chapter 3, Peter and John went to the house of prayer. They went to the temple at the hour of prayer. Verses 1 to 4, verses actually 1 to 6. And there was a man there by the gate called Beautiful. The Holy Ghost had come this time. This was a different Peter. They had been giving this guy alms every time. The man looked on them. Oh, it's you guys. Peter said, look on us, look on us. And he looked, expecting to receive, because he had always received. Peter said, today is a different day. Somebody said, today is a different day. Silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And a miracle happened, because he was now under the influence of the Holy Ghost. That miracle caused trouble. They brought them before the committee, the council. Peter spoke powerfully. He said, keep quiet. Don't preach in that name again. Don't preach in that name. They had a problem with the name of Jesus because they killed him. Yeah? But they didn't know he's still alive and well. And Peter, when they asked him in chapter 3, how did you do the miracle? In verse 16, he said, and his name, put that on the screen for me. Acts 3:16, and his name, through faith in his name. Acts 3:16, I said, I didn't say 1 Samuel 6:1, glory be to God. I said Acts 3:16. And his name, say with me, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. His name, through faith in his name. Faith in the name of Jesus will activate your dominion. That was what activated dominion for that man. Dominion over that crippling condition. Faith in the name. Faith in the name. Let's read that again. Say with me. Read with me. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Say with me. Again, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. Say with me again, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. Not faith in the pastor, not faith in your parents, not faith in the medicine, but faith in the name. Faith in the name. Faith is in the name. Faith in the name. The Holy Spirit is the activator. He, however, doesn't work with unbelief. He works with your faith. Dominion is activated by faith, not by unbelief. Dominion is activated by faith, not by unbelief. In closing this morning, there was a situation in Matthew 17. That's in Matthew 17. Before the Lord Jesus, the head of the church, sent Peter to the sea to go and get a fish. They had a situation before that time. Matthew 17, verses 19 to 21. A man brought his son, who was lunatic, to get help from the apostles. Jesus was not there. He had gone on an assignment. The apostles cried. They shouted. They screamed. The demon didn't go. The boy didn't get well. When Jesus came and saw the pandemonium, he rebuked them. Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? When are you going to get it? And then he rebuked that devil, and the devil left the boy, and the boy was well. Then the disciples did something very smart. Verse 19, they came to him privately and asked, why could we not cast him out? Why could we not cast him out? We used your name. In the name of Jesus, go! Go! The thing did not go. He was demonstrating. Bad! If you are in deliverance, if you have ever done deliverance, you know what I'm talking about. There are times you sweat almost all night on one stinking devil. Go! In the name of Jesus. I was in Ogbomosho on Wednesday on the invitation of the king. Normally, I should be in my retreat. When they said the king sent for me, so I went. And I anchored what he wanted me to anchor for him, and I wasn't going to return same Wednesday. I was coming back yesterday. So they put me in a hotel. Nice hotel. And one of my spiritual daughters, a student of, because we use LauTech for the program, was there, so I told her I was coming. So she came. She attended, and then she went with me to the hotel, along with the protocol officers of the king. So we're all there in the hotel, and then they checked me in, the protocol officers left, and a lady in the hotel, who was the front desk staff, came to attend to me in the room. So I said to her, oh yeah, come in, sit down. You know, because when you see a man and a woman in a hotel room, the atmosphere is dangerous, isn't it? So I said, come and sit with us. We're just gisting. We're gisting and gisting. Fine girl. So I preached Christ to her. She said, sir, I go to see an ex. I said, that's why you need Christ. The more reason. I'm not criticizing any church. I said, but you need Christ. And I'm not preaching church. Not even my church. We don't even have a branch here. But you need Christ. She agreed. I preached. She gave her life to Christ. I was going to let her go because she was at work. But I said, no. This girl must be baptized in the Holy Ghost. As I said, in the name of Jesus. Manifestation started. Real drama. If it was me some years ago, I'd have said, yay, hello, Ramisha. Who sent me this message? Because she was screaming. One moment, a very petite, fine lady, all elegant, a student of the school, but working part-time. Thank God my daughter was there in the room. She was the one that held her. They held her from the back. And I was commanding the devils, out, all of you, out. I released the fire of the Holy Ghost. Get out. I have seen the triumph of Jesus. I have seen the downfall of Satan. That we will continue to see in the name of Jesus. We were there for some minutes. Appreciable length of time. Appreciable length of time. Before they all left. When they all left, she opened her eyes and was wondering what she was doing on the floor and up. Like, what's going on here? Now, I said, look at this young lady. Exchange numbers. Be going to her church. She attends Rema Chapel in Ogbomosho. We don't have Stone Church in Ogbomosho yet. I said, so be going to Rema Chapel. Go and hear the word of God there. And I told her, tell your pastor and your ministry people, come and follow her up in this hotel. Follow her up in her house where she lives. Follow her up in school. Ensure she's established in the faith. Everywhere we go, that's how we should do. Amen? And be ready for drama. You think people are just cute and calm and collected? The moment you apply the name of Jesus, you will see drama. When I used to conduct deliverance in my office, I remember one lady, Sumbo. In the name of Jesus, she got up. And she showed me karate. Her eyes turned like this. And we started the WrestleMania in my office. Then, ooh, bah, 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 bah. Things on my table fell. Brah! I said, well, no, today, not today. Bible, jotter, books, fire, everything on the floor. I said, you demon, you must go because I won't give up. Go! He started with karate. Kung fu. I said, very good. Man, not devil. Another one, Faith, many years ago. That one spoke with the male voice. I hate you. I said, I know. I hate you too. You can't intimidate me with that voice. And I'm not here to banter with you. I'm here to tell you, go in the name of Jesus. Go! And if you stand your ground and you have your authority in the name of Jesus, they must go. You're not standing on your own name and his name through faith in his name. They must go. Amen? Go home and do deliverance on your brothers and sisters and mommy and daddy and everybody. Do it! I've told people in Expression House year after year, when you get to your room, cast out every demon in your room. People have seen things afterwards. One of our sisters, this was years ago, we were an afternoon church that time. She would just discover that in the dream, something will cut her, like someone they will beat her and cut her, and she will wake up and see marks on her body. Real deliverance. Jesus came for that. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing a few people that were oppressed of the devil. How many of them? All that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The one thing we are not doing very well in this church is that we are not going about. We should go out for evangelism. Don't expect them to come. Jesus said, go ye into all the world. He didn't say, stay ye and expect them to come. Go ye. Go and meet them where they are. That's where your dominion will be exercised. The sinners are on the streets. They're on the campuses. Go to where they are. Tell them about Jesus. Share your testimony. Deliver them from the grasp of the siren, that wicked man called the devil. Deliver them. The church world today is sold out to entertainment in all shades and forms. A lot of spiritual entertainment. Spiritual entertainment. We post videos of people praying. People post tongues of other people online. Then they put some melody. And then they say, I want to play the prayer. Let me hear the prayer to sleep. My friend, the devil is very interested. He will say, yes, yes, yeah. Increase the volume, increase the volume. You need to hear it more. You don't need to pray. Just hear the prayer. Oh no, pastor, it will spur me on to pray. Did Jesus need anybody to spur him on to pray? Did the apostles need anyone to spur them on to pray? Where did we get this rascality from? Some people, you invite them to sing, they are singing in tongues. We all can sing in tongues. We didn't invite you to sing in tongues. We can sing in tongues ourselves. Oh, Lord, 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 Baba, Ayala, Baba, you have 5 minutes. You have done singing in tongues for 2 minutes. And maybe that's what you call chanting. Nonsense. Spiritual entertainment. They look very pious and holy, but they are high-sounding nonsense. I thank God a man of God wrote on that very recently. I copied it. Go and look. Go and check my Facebook page. You find it there. High-sounding nonsense. The apostles in Nigeria today, there are certain dimensions. When you get to those dimensions, in fact, the portals will open over you and the frequency will be aligning. What are you saying, sir? They're confusing people. What are the dimensions? They can't show you in the scripture. Not a single scriptural reference to the dimension. And the portals will open and there'll be alignment. Where are the portals? Where is the alignment? And you see Nigerian youth, they'll be shaking their head like a gamma lizard. They'll be taking notes. Some of them will stand up. Revelation. Revel nonsense. Preach Christ and him crucified. Paul said, henceforth, I don't want to know anything about you except Christ and him crucified. Only Christ. Christ is our portion. Christ is our confession. Christ, our devotion. Christ, the center of our lives. That's why I love the Oyinbo people more, because it looks like they know what they are saying. We are here. So when you put speaking in tongues in your song, so you say, God is good, God is good, God is good, God is good. So when we buy the song, we should also say, God is good, God is good, God is good, God is good. Where you speak in tongues, we also speak in tongues, your tongue. We should also say that as well. Now, when the Holy Ghost came in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, did he give them the same tongue? Did you not hear? Did you not read in the Bible that people came from different parts of the world and each of them had his own different language? The Arabians were there. The Scythians were there. The people from Mesopotamia were there. From Ethiopia were there. All kinds of people were there and they had their own languages. Not that one particular language, a soundtrack. The Holy Ghost is not boring. I close, church. Let the Holy Ghost work with your faith. How does the Holy Ghost help my faith? Let me tie everything I've been saying since morning. I tie it together with two scriptures. How does the Holy Ghost help my faith? Romans 8, 26 to 27, Jude 1:20. Romans 8, 26 to 27. Can we have that on the screen? And I want us to read that together. And this is how we close. Glory be to God. I've not done too badly. Abi now. Romans 8, 26 to 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Infirmities here does not mean sickness and disease. It means our weaknesses. Because we don't know it all. We don't know everything. We don't know tomorrow. But he knows tomorrow. Abi? He knows God's plans for our lives. So he helps us in line with our weakness. We are that weak. There are times things happen to us we can't explain. Why is this happening? I'm coming out from one crisis. I'm entering another one. Why? The Holy Ghost helps you at such a moment. He helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. It did not say we don't know what to pray for. What we don't know is as we are supposed to pray. We know we need money now, but we don't know how we are supposed to pray for money. Give me money, give me money, give me money. You might never get it. There is a way to pray for it. We know that our daddy, maybe your dad, needs to be saved. He's not born again. God, save my daddy, please save him, Lord. That is not how to pray for him. The Holy Ghost will show you how to pray for him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. If our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. Whose minds have been blinded by the God of this world, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. So how to pray correctly for somebody to be saved is to say, Father, I take authority over the veil that is covering his heart, my father's heart. I remove it in the name of Jesus, and I command the light of the glorious gospel of Christ to shine into him. Lord, release your angels, release people to preach the gospel to him. In 1 week, your father can be surrounded with the gospel everywhere he goes. It will be as though everybody he meets will be telling him one thing or the other that will point him to Christ. They may not, all of them may not preach at the same time, but somebody would meet him and say, you know, sir, the Holy Spirit just said, I should let you know that Jesus loves you. Okay, thank you. Can't make much of that, but he'll walk away. He gets on the bus and they are playing a gospel song. He gets to his office and he finds a note, Jesus loves you. He goes for office dinner and one of his bosses that he respects a lot, that he respects so much that this one, he can't say no to him. He's a senior professor. Sits him down and says, hey, Jude. That's the only one I can call him Jude because your daddy is the Alpha and Omega of your family, the almighty lion of your tribe. And say, Jude, you need to give your life to Christ. You know that in this office, I used to be the president of the staff club. My uncle was a professor in UI. My uncle was chairman of the staff club. No, president of staff club for some years. After he died, I had part of the qualifications to be the president of the staff club. There must be a number of bottles of beer that you conquer before you can become the president. My uncle conquered them all. And I said, thank God I don't have to drink beer in my life. Because my uncle, my father, and my other uncles, they had drank all the alcohol that our own generation should drink. So if there be anybody in my generation that wants to drink, it has been taken care of. Although there are still some of my cousins though that are, but I'm praying for them. So we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. Don't put my handsome face there. Put that scripture, please. I know my face is handsome. Like my father and the Lord will say. Now, likewise, spirit also a better infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Next verse. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. How? According to the will of God. So when you pray in the Holy Ghost, ingrastapa, rustamania karaba dekelepa harastika liba hando mekenima restopria keteleba. The Holy Ghost is helping you to pray according to the blueprint of God, according to God's plan for your life or for someone else's life. He can put a burden of prayer in you for someone that is dying in Ghana that you don't even know. The missionary is dying and God is looking in the earth for an intercessor. Sometimes you wake up at 3 a.m. You don't know why. So why can't I sleep now? I will sleep. Oh, please pray. I picked up that culture many years ago. You don't know who you're praying for. Sometimes I've seen proofs. I've later understood why God woke me up to pray. But many other times, I don't know Jack. Sometimes he lets you see, but most of the time he won't let you see. But you have that burden to pray. You know, sometimes you just have the feel, a very heavy burden to pray. The best way you can pray is to pray in the Holy Ghost. You don't know where your bazooka is landing. It might be to save your mom's life. Your brother might be in danger in another country and you don't know it. But there has to be an intercessor. That's why I say we should come every Monday, 3 to 5, to pray. Especially for the church. Don't criticize our sisters and brothers. They are still going to club. They went to club last night. Oga, your job is to pray. Your job is not to criticize. As we pray for them, the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened. One day they say, no, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be drinking alcohol. I should be drinking the Holy Spirit. Amen? I'm a child of the Most High God. God doesn't take drugs. Yes, it's the Most High. Amen. How does the Holy Spirit help my faith? He helps you to pray according to the will of God. Number two, how does he help me? Pray. As you pray, Jude 1:20, you are built up on your most holy faith. He helps you to be built up on your most holy faith. But you, beloved, rise on your feet, everybody. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you are building up yourself on your most holy faith. Amen. Have you been blessed today? I know it's quite heavy. It's some heavy word. You need to get it and listen to it again, because it is the very foundation of our dominion. Father, we thank you and we honor you and we praise you. It's your word. You are the giver of the word. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of them that published it. Thank you for utterance. Thank you for what to say. Thank you for a very good atmosphere. Thank you for the people made ready to hear your word. And Lord, Satan will not be able to steal this word from the hearts of your people. In the name of Jesus, we will go forth and bring forth fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold return. In the name of Jesus, our lives will be better for it, and your name alone will be glorified in this church. Thank you, precious Father. Take over the encounter room. Take over the evening session. Take over tomorrow morning session. Take over tomorrow evening session. Take over the grand finale on Sunday. Let your people rejoice. Let your people be grateful for coming to a blaze. Let there be reasons to thank you. Let testimonies abound in this house to the ultimate glory of your holy name. Jesus, precious name, we have prayed, and God's people shout amen. God bless you.
Thank you once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible so that you can know him intimately beyond religion and rediscover purpose in him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG, or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.